Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Feminists have to begrudgingly admit that women are better suited to babies and nurturing, but insist upon telling women to let go of their desire to care for their babies.
Suppose this man who thinks he's a woman wants to bring his children into this. His children then have to become complicitous in this whole process. And then they're going to a church which is complicitous with that.
When he gets home to Capernaum, it won't matter if the son is still alive or the son has died, because Jesus has promised the boy lives. And that means that death is a farce.
If you're going to say that the Lord's Supper is only a memorial meal, you'd have to say the same thing about the Passover. But it wasn't. It actually was God at work bringing his people out of bondage.
Just a taste of Issues Etc. soundbite of the week fodder that we have ready for you. Coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play for those four sound bites that you heard in part in full, and then you're going to give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll also be giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week coming up in the last half hour. In the meantime, on this Friday afternoon, we're going to talk about a Hindu goat-killing festival. It's a 15-day festival called Dashain, and we're going to see why it is that Hindus, who are ordinarily known for a very hands-off policy to animals, in particular cattle, are killing goats, sheep, and what else? Mountain goats by the tens of thousands during this festival. Pastor Stanis Stanley joins us. He's pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church and a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on your show again.
Hindus are ordinarily thought of as people who are very gentle toward animals, in particular, holding to the sacred nature of the cow. Why are they killing goats and sheep and mountain goats?
It's not really, you cannot really say that Hindus don't sacrifice animals and all that kind of stuff. It's always been there in the different traditions of Hinduism. The only difference being that they do not sacrifice the cow, because the cow is considered to be the mother goddess or the provider and all that kind of stuff. It is basically to be kept in mind that mostly within an agrarian kind of a culture that the Hindus in the subcontinent lived with, the cow was kind of lifted up as the provider, as the one who was very, very important for the family and for the children and for agriculture and all that. So that is why there is a special veneration of the cow. And then along with that, all the mythological stories that have been connected with the cow have kind of uplifted the cow to that position. At the same time, if you look at the Hindu culture of the subcontinent, you will find there is a difference maintained from the cow in comparison to other animals, like, say, the buffalo. The buffalo, which is supposed to be more native to the Indian subcontinent, is considered to be an agricultural working animal. So slaughtering of buffaloes was always a big part of the Hindu socio-cultural and religio-cultural worldview and performance during festivals, especially. And even this particular festival that we're talking about, Dashain is more the way it has been celebrated in Nepal, whereas in the Indian part of the country, it is called as Navaratri. That is a 9-day festival combined, culminating in the 10th day, which is the Dasera festival, the last day. Basically, the idea over here is the victory of good over evil. And the mythologizing of this particular festival, the story goes like this, that the demons of the demon kings who were ruling over the land, at one point got control over the heavens, the world where the gods lived. And the demons called the Asuras had one special king called Mahishasura. And Mahishasura kind of was able to conquer the or enter into the world of the heavens and win over over major parts of that territory, striking terror into the hearts of the gods. And so comes Durga, the female goddess of power and Shakti, who enters into a fight with Mahishasura and his forces. And as a result of 9 days of fighting, which basically is a manifestation of different forms of Durga fighting different forms of Mahishasura, and in the fighting that ensues, finally on the 10th day, Durga attains victory over the evil forces of Mahishasura. So the mythologizing of this particular event also contributes to the belief that yes, Dashain or Dasera or Navaratri is basically to be celebrated as a victory of good forces over evil forces. And over here, we would like to also point out that the good, for instance, as you pointed out at the very beginning, the cow, for instance, is seen as something that is really good and tamed and very important to the family and the socio-cultural unit within a Hindu society. Whereas, for instance, the buffalo is the untamed, is the wild, is the bad. and in fact, here you pointed out that in this festival now this year goats are going to be sacrificed, but in fact it was buffaloes who were sacrificed. So it seems as there is some problem, especially with the recent troubles of the constitution taking place in Nepal and the blockade that has taken place from the Indian side for fuel and all that animals are probably not reaching Nepal, and so the demand for goats have gone up, and so we have lots of culling of goats. Killing of goats and probably pigs and things like that might take place during this festival. So that's in short what the entire story is all about.
All of this takes place in the context of something that we have talked with you about before, and that is the political/religious situation in India in general, where there is a strong struggle for power, really at this point, the ascendancy of what you would call a right-wing Hindu fundamentalist. Tell us about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, today in India, this entire thing, this festival especially, is taking place at a time in Nepal as well as in India. And as I said, in India, it's about Navaratri and Dasera. That's the way it is said, because Dasera is basically the festival of Rama winning over the demon king Ravana. So there is this two stories kind of overlapping. It's Durga's victory over Mahishasura, and there is the Rama, the great mythological or Hindu fundamentalists would say, the real Hindu king figure, the ideal man figure, Rama winning over the demon king Ravana, who had abducted his wife. And that's the culmination of the 10th day, that is the Dasera festival. So both these stories overlap in this particular festival that is taking place. Having said that, today in India, within the larger context, there is a big discussion taking place over beef. Can you eat beef? So the story goes that maybe two weeks ago, there was a Muslim man, elderly man, who was dragged out of his house and beaten up with bricks and killed right in front of his family. And also his younger son was beaten up with a brick, and he is basically fighting for his life, probably in coma or something, somewhere in the northern part of India. The rumor was that he probably killed a calf or something and had beef stored in his refrigerator. And so a group of Hindu fundamentalist guys kind of landed in the house, took him out, and almost you know, bait his head up and killed him. And even 2 days ago, there was the killing of two Dalit boys, Dalits being the previous untouchables of India, small kids, maybe around 3 or 4 years of age. They were killed by the upper caste people burning up their house and pouring petrol and burning up the house, and the kids get killed. And these two big incidents have almost brought India, especially a lot of bad news and media coverage, and there's a lot of turmoil happening in India. But the greater debate about, in light of all this, is, you know, what can we eat? Can we eat beef? Is the holy cow that much more important to the Hindu to the Hindu sensibilities than, say, Dalit kids getting killed? Is the human being more important than the animal? And then having all those discussions on the side, you also have the other discussion that commonly West understands and perceives about Hinduism, that it's a religion of tolerance, that is it is a society which uplifts and celebrates vegetarianism and all that kind of stuff. And it really goes to prove that for the Western mind, it's very difficult to get a grasp over the socio-cultural, things and the performance that takes place in India. It is very difficult. It's full of ambiguous, complex realities being held together. And Hinduism, in that sense, is very much like that. It kind of has these different traditions and streams. As you pointed out in the very beginning, the belief is that Hinduism is supposed to venerate animals or is supposed to be good to animals, very, very kind and very gentle towards animals. But at the same time, the major section of Hindu India celebrates the killing of animals, especially. This is basically an animal sacrifice that has been taking place within the context of the fertility cults, which have become these gods and goddesses of Hindu life. Durga, in that sense, is a fertility cult kind of a goddess. The sacrificing of animals is for the propitiation of or for the appeasement of the mother goddess goddess figure. This is, in short, the complexities of life in the Indian subcontinent within a Hindu worldview, which is so different from the more modern and logical kind of a worldview that the West is used to, and especially that Christians probably hold on to.
Then, with only a minute here, Pastor Stanley, what does this mean for the Christians there in India? Only a minute.
For Christians, of course, there is a minority complex within which Christians are kind of trapped in the social sphere right now in India. But at the same time, we as Christians do understand that Christ is ultimately the one who has won victory over evil here through his. Victory over sin, evil, and death. He has set us free, and he has made it possible for us not to worry about evil spirits or appeasement of goddesses or evil powers in this world, because finally the one who is within us is much more powerful than all this. We can overcome this, we can resist it, we can cast evil out, and so we need not fear. And that's what 1 John 4:4 teaches us. And I think Christians, this is what the missionaries and what the gospel message has been to us, and we hold on to that truth each and every day of our life.
Pastor Stanis Stanley is pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church and a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You talked there about the missionary work and the way that the gospel brings actual comfort in the darkness of this kind of society darkened by the false teachings of religions like Hinduism. Luther Academy assists the church to both preserve and to proclaim to the whole world, the entire world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only saving faith. You can find out more about this great mission organization at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Also visit them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. When we come back, we're going to spend some time in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., remembering three hymn writers church will be remembering on the 26th of October. Hymn writers Philip Nicolai, Johann Hermann, and Paul Gerhardt. Dr. John Vicker will be our guest, senior assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as assistant director for the LCMS Commission on Worship. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran Confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.